Chamber. Hey everybody, welcome to a return episode of the Avid Gamer Podcast. I haven't recorded in a long time because of basically just life and stuff. So I can tell by my subscription rate that I still have a lot of followers and subscribers. So I'm super happy to be recording again. And I'm super happy, super, super duper happy that I have one of my last guests that I had that I got a really great response on when she was on before. It's Miss Gwensday Adams. Miss Gwen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. There's been so much to talk about in the past year and a half, and we're gonna chew the fat today. Is that cool?
We're gonna what?
We're gonna chew the fat. It means talk. Just talk is what it.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Right. I mean, if that's what you're into.
Chewing fat? Yes. It's weird.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm stoked to do this podcast with you. And let me ask you, I'll just ask you up front. So I went just to look nice for this interview, though you can't see, but I'm looking really nice. I went and got a haircut and I shaved all, trimmed myself up all nice. I don't have a crazy beard, but I just look really nice. And I'm driving home from my haircut. And I said to myself, I want to hear some Misfits, which is my favorite band next to the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know who the Misfits are? Yeah, probably.
Of course I know who the Misfits are.
So let me ask you, do you believe that the things that you think, it will have an influence on not just like your actions, but like random events? Like you really have something in your mind and it can influence your thoughts. Do you believe that do you believe that your thoughts have influence on things? Before I go into my story.
I mean, sometimes there have been like instances where I've seen it and I'm like, okay, that's really strange.
Okay.
But I'm not like a huge like state kind of person, I guess. Like, are you asking me if I believe that, like, the Master Weaver has, like, you know, everything all planned out? Because I don't know if I actually believe that. So
well, I'm gonna convince you because I'm driving home with my haircut, and I said I want to hear some Misfits, and then I said I want to hear my favorite song by them, which is a song called "In the Doorway," and it's a song off of their Static Age record. It wasn't a big hit, and I plug in my iPhone. And I turn it on, and that the Misfits "In the Doorway" out of thousands of songs is the song that played randomly. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty crazy. Whoa. So are you telling me that you may have, you know, precognitive powers or?
Yeah, that's what I just said, sweetie. Precognitive powers. I blew your mind, didn't I?
Really afraid that you're in my head, Charles. And I don't really I don't know if I like that so much.
Well, we're gonna get in your head because we're gonna get to know you a lot better. We haven't talked to you in a while, and I got to tell you, one of the coolest things is that you are a comic book nerd and you are cosplaying one of the coolest cosplays I've seen in a long time. And if anybody's listening, if you follow Gwensday Adams on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, she's doing a badass Spider-Gwen, and I love it. I think it's got to be the coolest cosplay I've seen in a very long time. So, I want to talk to you about how you decided to do that, because Spider-Gwen is a relatively new character, and she's a catching on. She's getting to be a very popular character, and there's probably not a whole lot for you to go off of except your imagination. Would that be safe to say when it comes to how to create this costume?
Yes and no. Like, I'm really a huge fan of variants, you know, when it comes to, like, physical issues, and so there have been, like, a lot of really great variants, and as far as, like, Gwen herself, like, there's, you know, she still doesn't really have a lot of stuff that we understand as far as, like, her universe, because it's so different from 616. But I read almost, like, every single issue of, you know, the Spider-Verse crossover and Edge of Spider-Verse where she was in any of those issues. And she and I have a lot of things in common, and I think that's kind of why I decided that I was, like, going to be Earth 65 Gwen.
So you kind of saw a little bit of you in her, correct?
Oh, yeah, because, like, the Spider-Verse stuff, especially Edge, or Spider-Verse team-up, I'm sorry, it was, you know, the one where she was going back to save the Peter Parker who had been turned into the Goblin.
Yep.
And it was right around the time when I had been through, like, a lot of loss. Like, I lost my grandmother, and then that year my father died, and I think that her going through that actually helped me, and that's how, like, I connected with her, because I know what that feels like.
That's pretty interesting, and, you know, just to kind of put this in a timeline, that's not that long ago for you.
No, it's not.
And it's pretty interesting, and I tell people this all the time. Sometimes the best way to get through adversity and loss is to pour yourself into a passion, which cosplay and comics are a passion. So
oh, for sure.
these two things probably helped you keep going, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you know, there is this really kind of poignant, you know, issue of Spider-Gwen where she had, like, a talk with Jeff, and Jeff basically said, you know, you do the best that you can. And I believe that, you know, is how you should live your life, even though you've been through these awful things. And it's true that, like, you know, it can stifle you for a little bit, and you can stumble and lose your footing and stuff, but essentially you have to pull yourself up and find something that's going to give you a reason to have gone through all the stuff that you have. And I think that comic books have really, really great stories. And unfortunately, I think that they're really underappreciated sometimes.
Yeah, I think that the characters today are very much appreciated, but the actual physical comic books still aren't. I think it's a general misconception where these characters are coming from that are making so much money at the box office. I think people know that they're comic book characters, but they don't really realize that they are very much fleshed out with years of history behind them and a passionate fan base that goes beyond just a movie, you know, just a moviegoer.
People obviously know who Deadpool is, because anytime that you go to, like, a convention, you see people dressed up like him.
Yeah.
But I really don't think they understand, like, how sort of dark his origins were.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. So it's kind of nice that, like, the movies are coming out, because it gives people a chance to get to know these characters from where they started and see that, you know, they're just normal people like everybody else, and they all have their stuff, and they all deal with it in different ways. And just because you have these things that have happened to you doesn't mean that you can't do great things.
Well, you know, speaking of origins, let's get into yours, because...
Okay.
Let's get into your secret origins, okay? Let's talk about how you yourself got into comic books, and I'm guessing cosplay came a little bit later, because you probably had a few years of reading comics before the cosplay scene burst. So if you're like, you know, if you're a teenager, if you're 12 or 13, and I see this a lot online, cosplay is not a new thing to you, just like the internet is not a new thing to people under 20. But if you are in your 20s, mid-20s, there was a time before cosplay when you may not have had an expression for your fandom as much as, you know, in the ways of dressing up as your favorite characters. So let's get to how you got into comic books and how you you made this, or this became your passion. You mind talking about that?
Sure, sure. I have always been, like, a huge superhero person. Growing up, I wasn't exactly allowed to, you know, buy comic books or anything like that because of my mom. My dad was very, what's the word? He was an instigator, I guess.
Instigator, okay.
And he would, like, sneak me into his bedroom and let me watch, you know, Batman, the old series with Adam West with him.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. So I grew up with a love for the characters that I never really got to read until I was older. And then once I did start reading, like, I just wanted to know everything, basically, about all the characters that I was reading about, because there's so many, you know, timelines and story arcs and events that, like, cross each other, and it's all kind of, like, intermixed and woven into the history of each character that I, like, spent a really, really long time trying to kind of catch up on everything that had happened. And I guess cosplay kind of came around, like, I'm not going to lie. When I was younger, you know, like a teenager and stuff, I did stuff like this, but we didn't have a name for it.
Right.
And you didn't tell people, because God knows, like, if you, hey, I hung out last night in some spandex. Okay.
Oh, you know? Mm-hmm.
But I think it was something that always kind of was around, especially because I got in trouble a lot for, as a kid, ripping apart, like, old clothes and repurposing them.
Okay.
And it just kind of really took off from there. Like, people now are lucky just because I think that the community has grown significantly as far as even just the mentality.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah.
So that's amazing and wonderful, and I hope it continues to. It's just, you know, sometimes you put things into your head. Like, when I first started, it was basically doing closet cosplays and stuff because I was afraid of creating my own things because I was afraid of what people would say. You always hear stories about, you know, the negative stuff.
Yeah.
About bullying and everything. And so I kind of really hesitated about doing my own things. And then I guess it just, you know, I went full nerd. And so once you do, you don't go back.
Yeah, there was a time for me. I grew up in the 90s. If I were to told anyone in my high school that at night when they were getting loaded and fucking playing football, that I was dressing up as Wolverine in my room, I think I would have, well, I don't know if I'd be alive today. They just would have, they'd still be kicking the shit out of me. You know, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, remember like when Dungeons and Dragons first started to be a thing? You couldn't tell people that you were into Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, you couldn't. It's like, wait, you do what? You sit around a guy who's a bigger nerd than you who tells you the rules of this story, this fantasy. Like, yeah, it's basically what I do. It's what I do for fun. So, yes, I do know. And the funny part is I was in the bookstore the other day and I saw a magazine just dedicated to cosplaying. So cosplaying is such a legitimate thing now where it wasn't as accepted 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
For sure.
So you were repurposing clothes, and you were sneaking some Batman 66 in your life. And it's funny that you say sneaking, because that must mean mommy wasn't really into it. She was the one who was not letting you explore this world, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, my mom was, she's very old timey with the E, you know. She's very set in old societal constructs of what a female in today's society should be like. And so, you know, you didn't read those things or do those things because they were boy things. And so anything that I read like that or watched, I would have to kind of, you know, sneak with my dad. So we would watch, you know, the Batman series together. We watched, like, Zorro and X-Files. I remember X-Files was, like, a huge thing, even though he probably shouldn't have let me watch some of those because, man, the nightmares.
They were scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The nightmares that you have when you're little, like, and watching, because you watch that, they're real.
Oh, yes.
They're so real. And, I mean, as a teenager, I grew up with Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, great. The greatest, one of the greatest cartoons ever.
And just the voices, and like, that will always be the Joker to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And things like that. Like, that was the, and I maybe probably shouldn't say this, but I remember, like, being younger and seeing Catwoman and thinking that, like, you legitimately could choose to grow up to be a cat burglar, and mm-hmm. that was okay.
It's pretty cool. Like, not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was a legitimate career choice.
Well, were you at this point buying comic books?
I actually didn't start physically buying comic books until a couple of years ago. I know that sounds really crazy and weird, but it's the truth.
What made you walk into a comic book store?
I think it was because it had gotten to a point where, like, do you know that point that you reach where you know stuff about enough things that, like, when you're watching a Marvel movie with your friends that aren't nerds,
mm-hmm.
that they're just kind of glazed over, and you're, like, sitting there, like, hyperventilating?
Yes, I know that all too well.
Yep, I had gotten to that point, and I was like, okay, I need to do something. I need to talk to a person who understands me or something. And there's this really, really great comic book shop that's, like, I want to say 50 minutes to, like, an hour away from where I am.
Okay.
And I remember, like, standing at the desk and talking to, like, the guy behind the counter for, like, an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was, like, my best friend was insane. She's just staring at me like, okay, this is obviously, I need to live here or work here or something.
Well, I've been there. I've been in that situation many a times. And if you are not interested in what's going on inside of a comic store, then you want to get the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
I have taken many of females with me who think it's a cute hobby until I get in there. And I'm like, listen, stay away. I'm back issue shopping. You know, and it's that's when it becomes apparent that that love is not just a small thing, but just a super passion. And so I've been in that situation plenty of times. And you know what? That's the greatest thing about conventions and stuff like that is you get to be around people that love what you love and appreciate something, you know, the same way you do. That's why I love conventions so much.
Oh, for sure. And it sucks because if you're in a smaller, like, city like I am, you don't really have the opportunity to do that much unless you're traveling really, really far away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's awesome, but at the same time, like, I look at it and I'm like, oh, God, if I lived in California, this would be like, if I was still in California, excuse me, like, this wouldn't even be a thing. Like,
yeah.
There's just a difference between, I feel, like, the West Coast and the East Coast as far as, like, the community.
Yes. Oh, I totally understand. I now, you know, I know where you live, and you know where I live, and I think they're extremely similar, and it's growing. It's growing, I think.
It is growing, which is awesome.
Yeah, but it is one of those things where, you know, the band Gwar?
Yeah.
All right. You don't know them? Okay, they're a metal? No,
no,
I know.
I do. Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Well, Gwar is from Richmond, where I'm at, and you would see Gwar walking down the street in just full Gwar gear back in the day. It wasn't, you know, but you would also, it would be a spectacle. That's kind of the way it's been with, you know, dressing up in a cosplay outfit or wearing a little too much Marvel wear. You know, people just want to stop and stare like, what's your problem, kid? You know, but over the past few years, I've just noticed the numbers have gone up and stuff that I see that I recognize, like maybe somebody with like an Infinity Gauntlet on their shirt, which may not mean anything to 95% of the people they see, but guys like me just geek out, you know? So it's definitely growing.
How many comps do you guys have, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no. Oh, that's a secret. I can't tell you because you live.
What?
No, we probably do about 3 or 4 a year, including a Wizard World that comes here. And we have a Virginia Comic Con organization that just does 2 or 3 here a year just in RVA. And then in just Virginia in general, we have a ton, actually, now that I think Awesome Con's coming up in D.C. I mean, it's just, yeah, so I'm pretty fortunate these days. What about you?
In June, which is called Sci-Fi Valley Con, and then there's a couple other ones that I know of that are, like, in Pennsylvania. Funnily, like, funny enough, do you know Josh Blaylock? He's from, he does Mercy Sparks.
Sounds familiar. I don't know him personally.
Okay, so the one day I'm on Facebook, and Josh had messaged me and was just like, hey, this con in Philadelphia, what is this? I'm like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Philadelphia is like 5 hours away, so I'm really sorry.
Oh.
So obviously, you know, there's bigger ones in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And the one that we have is starting to take off. Like, this is the first year that we'll have professional cosplayers, you know, there and
yeah.
things like that. Just it's been, you know, it's a slow evolution, and I think that for us, it's more that we need to not advertise, but we need to learn how to market ourselves to the right people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You've got to also, you also have to find a way to, you got a way to spark that interest, you know, in people's minds for the, you know, for the comics and the cosplay. How do you get people interested? How do you get people to want to go a little deeper than just to go to their Cinemaplex and see a movie, you know? Because
I think that yeah, for sure. I know what you mean.
These cons won't stay out, you know, in business. They won't become regular unless they get people through the door, you know?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I think that a lot of that, too, has to do with, you know, people like myself and other cosplayers. Like, we're the best kind of form of, I guess, publicity as far as that, because depending on how we interact with everyone and how much, you know, we're encouraging people to do that sort of thing, it really matters too. And that's why I think that, you know, when I started doing all the YouTube stuff, that I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to focus on something that I love so that maybe I can get people interested in the same things, or people that don't really feel confident enough to talk about it to actually talk about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, I know you love comics. When did you start cosplaying as in I will step out of the house in a cosplay uniform? When did that come about?
The first cosplay that I ever did was probably like a year and a half ago, and that would be like when I lived at the L at a super Sci-Fi Valley Con, excuse me. And that was like, I had a friend, my best friend, she's not a cosplayer, but she is into nerd stuff, too, and we were just kind of like, we'll go, and we both love Supernatural, and, you know, I had, for whatever reason, I have a lot of stuff that looks like Castiel, sometimes. So I was like, yeah, I'll just do it. But it was, like I said, a closet sort of thing, and then after that, I was like, you know what, like, seeing all the pictures on Instagram, and then just, there are so many people out there who are doing so many crazy creative things.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what, whatever, I'm going to do it. Like, maximum effort, do it.
Yes, I agree. That's so cool. And you're right, people are getting more and more out there with their cosplay. I always thought it'd be really cool if we ever can get time travel down to bring a guy from 1934 to, like, a cosplay convention and just watch him freak out, because some of these costumes are so convincing, you know? And it's...
You're going to kill somebody from the past is what you're going to do. They're going to have heart attacks.
Yeah, we all have our goals. Time travel murder is mine, Gwen. I don't know why that's...
You must be Kang the Conqueror.
So what is... Okay, you got the Spider-Gwen, and you've done a lot of really awesome pictures. I got to say, they're up online. You've done some shoots with those, and they look great. So are you going to wear that to the convention that's coming up?
Yeah, I'm actually going to do... So I'm going to do Spider-Gwen, and then I'm going to do my Gwenpool. And then, because Alana Hoffman is going to be there, and
yeah,
she was Abaddon from Supernatural, who I love, in, like, a really... Like, is it wrong to like somebody who might possibly eat your face off?
I like you. And... so, at that... That exposes my fear and just tells you I like you. So yeah, I guess not. I guess you can admire somebody though they might xenomorph onto your face.
Well, see, her Abaddon is like that for me. So I'm gonna do Abaddon in kind of like honor of Alana being there, because she's like one of my favorite characters, even though she's kind of awful.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. We can enjoy the bad guys and our comic love. So you're going to do that, and I haven't seen your Gwenpool yet. Are you working on that now?
I have my Gwenpool finished. My photographer, who I actually just kind of started working with, it's so hard to find photographers here, like in my city.
Yeah.
Especially ones that like understand anything about cosplay?
Well, there are those photographers that basically have an iPhone and they see a beautiful woman and they just want to take pictures of them.
Yeah.
And which I call the grand time wasters for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I believe that a lot of people like to call those just the guy with camera.
That's right.
But, I mean, he was like a legitimate, you know, photographer. I'd seen some of his work and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a chance and just message this guy. And, you know, he's the one that found like the rooftop location that we shot at and stuff. So that was really cool. And we're going to do something hopefully fun with Blendpool because, I don't know if you've read like the issue since our holiday special.
I read the issue one of Gwenpool that came out last week. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. It's so funny, right?
Like, yeah, so good.
I don't know. Christopher Hastings, like, he won me over with Adventure Time, and then when I heard that he was writing this, I was like, I'm in.
You got to do it. Yeah. That's how I am with Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly,
really?
Oh, he wrote my favorite comic ever, any run, which was the original Deadpool from, like, 97. And this is before Deadpool was who he is now. And Joe Kelly was just so hilarious. So now he's writing that Deadpool Spider-Man team up.
Oh yeah, that's so good too.
And it's so, so good. And this we're talking 15 years later. I mean, I was so overjoyed. I was telling everybody, this is it. This is, you know, it's coming back. And you get a really good writer on board, and you can get some awesome stuff.
Oh, for sure. And like, I think that like a lot of the Marvel stuff that they're doing right now, like I told you before, like I personally think there's a lot of things that are kind of like connecting.
Yeah. Okay.
So people coming back to like titles that in some way have connected to stuff that they have written in the past. That to me is just like amazing because I feel like there's enough there that I understand groundwork wise that I really think that Civil War II is going to be like a huge thing.
So I know that you have some theories on Civil War. Do you want to share them?
I do. Are you talking about the comic or do you want to talk about the MCU?
The MCU.
Okay. So in the MCU, they're really, you know, they're deliberate about what you see and what you don't.
Definitely.
With trailers and stuff. And I don't know if you saw, do you remember the trailer that came out where, like, the part where Bucky and Iron Man are kind of facing off in the place where he's been in, like, the containment tube, like the...
Yes.
Previous to that. If you watch that... And really, like, pause it, slow motion. There's a secondary Winter Soldier that steps out from behind him.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah. No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So you think he was cloned?
I think he was cloned. You and I both know that in the Miller run that, mm-hmm. you know, Thor had been cloned and there was this whole mess. And then we see Rhodey with, like, the chest... like the big hole or whatever in his chest that kind of looks like where Tony's arc reactor would be.
Yes.
And so I think what's going on is if you've read Avengers Red Zone, they're kind of doing like a nod to that because in Avengers Red Zone, essentially Red Skull has infiltrated the U.S. government
mm-hmm.
and he's going to release this weapon of mass destruction hidden under Mount Rushmore, and he's trying to make it look like it's an attack on America from Wakanda.
Yeah, okay.
And who else is in Civil War? The Black Panther. Right. And you know he just doesn't, like, T'Challa and his people are very, like...
They don't interlope in other people's business unless it infuriates
them. No. So I think that's intentional, you know what I mean? Especially with Alexander Pierce having worked for Hydra and the fact that he was a U.S. government official. And, you know, at the time, for a little bit, he was in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
So maybe he planted something that, you know, frames Bucky for all this stuff. And that's kind of what sets it off. Plus, they talk about Project Pegasus.
Yes, okay.
In the MCU. And you and I both know that Project Pegasus is well known for cloning people.
That's right. Wow. Okay, so as safe to say, between creating cosplay costumes, you're slowing down trailers and taking notes, because that is pretty extensive.
I'm a big theorist. I'm not going to lie. Like, the year that they kind of did the Avengers, I was sitting in the theater with my then, like, boyfriend at the time, and all the little clips that came up, you know, of the people talking about what had happened and stuff like that were playing, and I turned to him because it came to the one that was, like, people talking about how they weren't happy and how the Avengers needed to, like, take responsibility for the destruction, and I was like, they're going to do Civil War.
Yes.
And he's like, what? I was like, they're going to do Civil War. It's right there, they're laying groundwork. Look into it. And, like, for, like, half a year, people that I told were like, nah, they'll never do Civil War.
Well, it's such a grand, sweeping story, you know? And every character basically is involved, that if you look at it, it almost seems impossible to do it justice. But there is a way to do it, and they've got it figured out. But on the outside, if you know comics, it's almost like, well, I want to fit this in, and I want to fit this in, and I want to fit this in. And to do it as one single movie, it does seem like a daunting task.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, if you think about all the phases that even DC is trying to, you know, they're slowly transitioning as far as, like, phases and stuff in the movie. Like, I never thought that we would have as much as we do or will have, because how do you fit everything into, like, 3.5 hours?
Yeah, you don't. It's so hard. You don't. You can't read the comics in that, you know? I mean, you couldn't read the physical issues in front of you in that time. Okay, so when do you think they're going to start pulling in the Guardians of the Galaxy and the other properties that are just killing it? When do you think that's going to happen?
There's crossover already. Like, I remember, are you an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. person?
I haven't seen the last season.
Okay. So even with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the MCU, there's still a crossover. There are characters who are associated with, you know, Thaddeus Ross that are currently in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. So I think that they're slowly trying to do it, and I know that they did, because I'm not a huge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. watcher. I know it's blasphemy. I'm sorry. It's awful, but
no, I just told you I haven't seen the last season, so you're cool with me.
But, like, I know that there's, you know, they did, Sif was on it before, you know, stuff like that. So I know that there's some crossover there, and it's slow. It's like a slow progression, but I think that after Civil War, we're really going to kind of see that sort of kick up.
Okay. Okay. So you think they have to get through this phase here?
I think so. I think that this is going to be something. It's almost like the catalyst that's going to bring everybody together, if that makes sense.
Do you think that includes, like, the Doctor Strange? Because
I really hope so. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Same here.
Oh, that trailer.
Well, that's the thing is, now listen, so many people I know don't know Doctor Strange, and I've known Doctor Strange since before I was 10 years old. I knew who he was because of my comic book obsession. He's such a great character, and it looks like it's being done perfectly.
He is a really great, you know what, and because they did, I feel like Marvel tested the waters with Doctor Strange, because if you remember a couple years ago, they had that animated movie about his origin.
Yes.
And he's so awful when you first get to know him, because he's sick, you know?
Yes.
But his story and his origin and just who he becomes is so amazing. And when they announced this, they announced, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, all you had to say was it's, you know, Khan from Star Trek with a single tear, and yep.
See, this is what I think makes Marvel so smart. I think if you're going to make people love anything or accept a new character or a new franchise, you have to make it upfront sexy, you know, because you have to get like Robert Downey Jr., easily the most charismatic man on the planet. you know?
Robert Downey Jr., I feel like he was, like, born to be Iron Man. Like, he just, he, like, exudes everything. Like, you see it in your, like, him in stuff, and you don't know whether or not he's ad-libbing or if it's his line, because it's just so natural.
It's like somebody, there's, you know, a writer in his head, that, you know, just popping out line for him to say. And then, then you have Deadpool, and how do they bring Deadpool to the masses? They put it out on Valentine's Day, and they have Ryan Reynolds, who is Deadpool's a love story. It's got that love story. So you make something like, and with Benedict, oh gosh, women love him. You make something sexy, like very cool, and you're in. You're in the public's, you get the public's favor. But if you look at Batman versus Superman, there was nothing super sexy about it. I don't think you've seen it, but...
I haven't seen it. You know, I love Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Or however you say his name. But
he doesn't even know.
For me was just... It was one of those things that I watched, and I was like, I don't want to talk trash on this, but, like, at the same time, you and I both know that there were things in that movie that were kind of not Superman. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I exactly know what you mean. And I think that comes down to... Well, that comes down to the thought of, well, we don't really need to, people already know the character. So we don't really need to go too deep or too accurate, you know, of his story. And whenever you stray away from these characters that have been around for 75 years, you're going to get a mixed reaction. The quality is going to suffer.
Oh, for sure.
And that's what I think, you know, Marvel, hey, here's a new character. He's sexy and cool. All right, we're in. Here's Batman. He's Ben Affleck. Would he buy it? And unfortunately, most people didn't, you know? So you can see the differences between the DC and the Marvel Universe. It's just glaringly apparent of who's behind, you know, just the intentions behind these movies.
I think for DC, too, like, we have yet to see them really take a risk as far as, you know, characters that they're incorporating.
Right.
I mean, maybe with Suicide Squad, but I think that one of their biggest, you know, characters and most well-known and well-loved is actually Jason Todd. When are we going to see him ever going to be in a movie?
Jason Todd, that would be interesting to have him in a movie, like a Red Hood movie, or perhaps would be, oh, yeah. The possibilities are endless because there's so much great material there to be mined, you know?
There is. That for DC, it's going to come down to the fact that they're going to have to take a bigger risk than they already are. You know what I mean?
So,
like, they're going to have to put people like that in there and hope that they do well because, you know, the writing's there. If they want to create a character who's, you know, connecting to audiences in a certain way, they can. They just have to be a little bit gutsier about it.
True. So let me ask you, on average, how many books are you picking up a month? I do want to know.
It's a lot. So I'm current on pretty much every Marvel title.
Yeah.
That is being distributed, just because my theories and stuff like that, like there's so much going on in the Marvel world right now that's kind of waiting to be crossed over into this huge thing that if you miss an issue, it's kind of like, you have no idea what's going on.
Yep. Yep.
I read some DC stuff. Like they're canceling a lot of the stuff that I read. Like I was a big Gotham by Midnight person.
Oh, that's a good series. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I mean, Jim Corrigan for whatever reason, that was like a thing. And then what else did I read? Secret Six. I really, really liked Gail Simone's Secret Six just because it was. There was a lot of really funny stuff that happened. You know what I mean? It had humor behind it.
Well, I didn't read that title, but what did you think of Clean Room?
Oh, Clean Room is really good.
I like that, too. I like Clean Room.
Clean Room is really good. Survivor Club, I don't know if you read that. That's like a Vertigo thing.
Yep.
So good. It's like one of the better horror titles that I've been reading for a really long time. But, I mean, as far as, like, the DC superhero stuff, there's not really a lot that I'm currently reading right now because I'm kind of just waiting for rebirth to happen.
Yeah, we all are. What on average, because I'm going to needle you until I get a number, how many books do you pick up a month? Count, you can use your fingers and toes if you need to count it
out. I'm trying to do math, and you're like, I thought this wasn't school.
Nope, it is. Welcome to Avid Gamer School, AVG School.
Dang it. I would say anywhere from, it depending on the month, anywhere from like 50 to more.
Good Lord. Oh, wow.
See, here's the thing, though, is that I don't just read, the big two. I'm also, an image person, and I read stuff on, certain stuff on, Dark Horse and things like that. So there are a lot of things that I need to catch up on.
Yeah.
In those other worlds, just because I've been really focused on prepping for this Marvel event. So I'm behind on, Pretty Deadly and anything Image.
Now, are you buying, I think I've asked you this just personally when we chat, are you buying a physical issue or are you digital download?
I love physical issues. I love physical issues. I love variant covers. I'm the kind of person that if I find out that there's a variant cover, I will hunt it down or at least try to. Just because, the art in comics is just one of the things that kind of make them what they are, and when you get one of your favorite artists doing a variant comic for one of the titles that you're in love with, you need it.
Yeah, when it comes to comics versus digital or paper, this is what I tell. I know friends that love the smell of weed, and I go, oh, I know friends that have babies, and then I got one myself, and they go, oh, the smell of a newborn baby. Oh my god, the smell of a comic book. You mm-hmm. walk into a comic store. You know what I'm talking about. You walk a comic store and you smell that paper, and that the acid that the paper puts off is the reason why we smell that. And it's what my house smells like. To be honest with you, I love it. It's so attractive, and I can't get that off of a tablet. From a downloaded issue.
Oh, for sure. There's something almost rewarding about being able to go into a store and physically pick up your copy. Know what I mean?
And flip through a back issue box, a long box. It's relaxing.
Oh, it totally is. You could, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person, I could spend hours in a comic shop, not even really doing anything, but just looking at things.
Yeah.
I think the experience, too, is something that people should at least have once in their life, because it really makes you understand more about the community. Most of the places that I've been to, and knock on wood, I've never really had a bad experience. Most of the places that I've been to, there has always been, really great staff who will talk to you about things. Or for myself, if I see somebody looking for something and they can't find it, I'll suggest titles to them that might be similar.
Oh, so cool.
That sort of thing.
Well, you need to work in a comic store then.
I wish. That's one of the dreams, I guess.
Yeah. That's my current dream, to be honest. And that's what I've been toying around with lately is just, getting a small business loan and opening my own store, because I want to get out of my current job, which I've had for a long time and pays really well. But I'm thinking about just opening my own place. Mm-mm-mm. And if I did, I would need a super cool cosplayer to come down and take photos with customers. Just telling you.
Just do it. Yeah, do it. Do what you love. I think that's a big thing that you learn from this kind of culture. Life is so short. You should be doing what you love.
So
no matter what.
Speaking of that, is it too early to talk about what you're working on?
As far as projects? Do you want to know about
your creation? Your comic creation.
As far as I know, I can talk about.
You don't have to give it all away, but it's interesting and it's very cool that you're stepping into a creator role.
Yeah, I'm. It's scary. It's really, really scary. I'm not, like, I'm very lucky. I know people in the industry who are currently working for big companies, you know, like Marvel and stuff, and I'm really lucky that this opportunity came to me because it was sort of out of the blue.
Yeah.
But I, yeah, I'll be writing, as of 2017, I'll be a published comic book writer, so that'll be interesting.
So awesome. And you're currently doing probably scripts and stuff like that and outlines, right?
I am, yeah. I just scripted, I finished 4 issues, and then I will be doing soon, once I get the go-ahead, I will be writing my own original superhero as well.
So if you do that, is it going to be something you can cosplay, your own creation? Would you do that?
You know what? As far as my superhero, I don't think, just because it's really, really strangely involved with, like, there's some religious background in there.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little bit strange.
Well, I've seen you cosplay Constantine, so I know that you can pretty much do anything.
I love Constantine. Oh, man. Thank you, though. So here's the thing, is that if you're a creator and you cosplay your own character, isn't that kind of like wearing your own band t-shirt?
I was about to say that'd be like Axl Rose wearing a Guns N' Roses t-shirt. Everybody would just be like, you douchebag, we get it. But the thing is, you know, you're a cosplayer before you became a writer, so you might have a little leeway. I don't know. I think it's really cool. I don't want you to give too many specifics because I don't want people to rip you off. But I do think it's a pretty cool transition from comic lover to comic reader to cosplayer to comic creator. It's those kind of arcs in life that I think makes our time on Earth magical.
Oh, for sure. And, like, honestly, I think that being a person who had read the comics and knowing some of the names before, and then being able to, you know, like, I was getting messages from people who I'm currently, like, looking at their art, you know, as I'm flipping through my comic books, and they're like, yeah, let me know when your title comes out. And that's just, like, amazing. Like,
That's surreal, right, to hear something like that?
It's really surreal. Like, I feel like I maybe have, like, woken up in, like, a House of M universe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I've been granted all of, like, my secret heart desires, and
it's
just a dream. Maybe.
It's like Kevin Smith calling you and saying, hey, when's your movie coming out? You'd be like, oh, God, Kevin Smith. You know, it's one of those things. One of those things. No, I totally understand. And, you know, it's really cool when you can love something so much that you then get a shot to make that thing happen, you know, your own thing. And that's just why I wanted to bring it up and let people know that you are behind the scenes now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No. It's pretty awesome. Well, you know, we've gone about 48 minutes. I want to be respectful to your time, Gwensday. So can you tell us where we can find you online and how? Now, I don't want to open the floodgates for people to abuse your time because you are you're very generous. You know, whenever I ask you to talk to me, you do. So where can people message you or talk to you or see what's going on or maybe cosplay advice or anything? Where can they get a hold of you?
I am Gwensday Adams on not only Instagram but Twitter as well. So you can always tweet me. I have my own YouTube channel. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, you can't specifically like name it until you reach a certain amount of followers, which is really strange to me.
That is weird.
But I'm on YouTube. You can find me under Gwensday Adams. As far as like the channel name itself, I also am on Facebook. I don't mind telling people about my Facebook. It's just that the URL for that one, if you're going to my actual cosplay like page, is just the same as anything. It's just Gwensday Adams. I tried to keep it.
Yeah.
As integrated as possible, just so it was easier to find. But, I mean, honestly, contact me. If you have questions about cosplay or comic books, or you just want to, you know, talk about theories, I love doing that. That's why every time that you ask me to talk, it's not a big deal. Like, this is fun for me, so.
Well, awesome. And so look for, I have a feeling that there's not too many Gwen Zay Adams running around. So if you just Google, the first one that comes up is going to be you.
I hope so. That's what I'm trying to do.
I think you're doing it. You're branding yourself very well, buddy. So
thank you. Thank you.
You hold on the line, and I'm going to say thank you very much to everybody that's listened. Thank you for Gwen Zay for taking the time to talk to little old me on the podcast. We're going to do more and more of these. I want to have her on, even though she hasn't agreed, but she will, to do more and more of these as the movies come out, the comics come out, and her creation comes out. And we'll be back to you real soon. So thanks for listening. You have a good one.
Thank you.